Welcome to the Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. This simple, scripturally sound preaching and teaching of the Word of God will direct you to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Follow the Shepherd's Voice into the green pastures that God has purposed for you. There, you'll find rest for your soul and the fulfilled Christian experience you crave. God bless you as you listen.
Put your hands together again for Jesus, and you may be seated. Why do people go on leave after a major church service? I don't get it. Is there anybody who get it? I don't. It's pseudo-Christianity, right? It's amazing. You know, for the rest of the month of December, I want us to be in a gratitude and thanksgiving mood. Amen. Somebody say gratitude and thanksgiving mood. Amen. So today's message is connected to that, and I have titled it, "For Whom Makes You Differ from Another?" So the title of today's message is a question. For whom makes you differ from another? Would you mind asking the person sitting next to you, who makes you differ from another? All right, turn your Bibles with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and we want to read from verse number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, reading from verse 1. And I'm reading from the New King James Version. I think I will be sticking to that throughout today's sermon. It reads, "Let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by a human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself. For I know of nothing against myself, yet I am not justified by this. But he who judges me is the Lord. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the hearts. Then each one's praise will come from God. Now these things, brethren, I have figuratively transferred to myself and Apollos for your sakes, that you may learn in us not to think beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up on behalf of one against the other." Will you please join me to read verse 7 together? Ready? Go. "For whom makes you differ from another? And what do you have that you did not receive? Now, if you did indeed receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it?" Amen. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. Verse 7 of 1 Corinthians chapter 4 is actually one of my favorite scriptures. And I like how it is framed in the King James Version. It says, "For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? And if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it?" I like it because there are a lot of tutors in it. That's the fancy blood in me. All right. You know, last Thursday, I went on a trip to the central region with my friend, Reverend Joe Kumi, who is in town. Reverend Joe Kumi, you're welcome to town. Can you clap your hands and acknowledge my friend? On our way back at the Odoko Junction, I think it was, along the N1, the traffic light was red. And so, obviously, we had to stop, waiting for it to change to green. So, as I looked round leisurely, I saw a man moving from car to car, begging for money. He looked quite frail. His eyes were sunken. And he had on a white beard. And he looked much older than I felt he actually was. So as he was drawing closer to our car, I took out my wallet and took some money out of it, intending to give it to him. But when he got close to our car, I was startled because I recognized him and know the guy. He was my classmate in secondary school, the great Presec. I know what you are trying to say, but I will ignore you. I will ignore you. People are looking for a quarrel, but I won't give it to them this morning. We sat in the same class from 1C, from 2C, from 3C. Because in our time, after Form 3, then our paths are separated. Those who are going to do science will do science. Those who are going to do arts will do arts. Those who are going to do business will do business. I think he ended up doing business. So I lowered my window and I mentioned his name for good reason. I'm not going to say what his name is. And he was surprised. And then I mentioned my name also. That I am Awanyo John. And then his face lit up. He said, I've been talking about you with another mate of ours, asking where you were. And he said, the mate had told him that I was a pastor and that I was somewhere in the Tema region. Now, what was the story of this mate of mine? He got into a drug addiction problem. And it was pretty bad. So we tried his mates to help him. And I was very much involved in that. I showed them a rehabilitation, a Christian rehabilitation center that we could put him in and just take care of him there and trust that he'll be able to break out of the addiction. Unfortunately, it didn't work. And I think he's been in and out a number of times. But you see, when I gave the money to him, I spoke sternly to him. And I told him that, my paddy, we have done so much for you already. And you can't continue living your life that way. But I gave the money to him, all right. But I rebuked him. Right about then, the traffic light changed to green. So I had to drive off and I told him that I'll try and look him up later on. But you see, as we drove on, I was chatting with Osofu Jokumi. And I felt the Holy Spirit rebuking me concerning that statement I made to him. It was like, try and put your life together. Try and put your life together. We can't keep doing this all the time. I felt the Holy Spirit rebuking me. But what he said to me was that it's not so simple. It is not. It's not just a simple matter of put your life together. We are tired of this sort of thing. Then he said to me that if I had been through what he has been through, do I know where I would be? That I'd probably have ended up like the way he has ended up, on the streets begging. And possibly, I could have been in a worse situation. It was then that this scripture came to mind. For who makes you differ from another? For who makes you differ from another? This was the question that the Apostle Paul posed in this scripture. He had written a letter to the church in Corinth, and that church had a lot of problems, had a lot of issues. Now, one of them was that there was a lot of division in the church, a lot of strife, factionism, quarrels. And there were actually two factions in the church. There was the Paul faction, and then there was the Apollos faction. So Paul wrote to them and rebuked them. And was saying to them, what are you guys doing? Who is Apollos? Who is Paul? We are just servants of God. That you should treat us as servants of God and stewards of the mysteries of Christ. And then he told them that, look, what you guys think about us and your opinion about us do not matter. There's what God thinks about us. And ultimately, he's the one we will stand before. And he's the one who is going to judge us. And he said, so stop what you are doing and stop splitting hairs over who is greater. Because I'm sure that there was a quarrel in the church. Apollos is greater. Paul is greater. He said, stop that thing that you're doing. And it was then that he made this statement to them. For who makes you differ from another? For who makes you differ from another? You see, my friends, one of the greatest dangers of this life is for you to get to a place where you forget the source of your success and the source of your blessings. I'll say it again. One of the most dangerous places or points you can get to in your life is when you forget where your success came from, where your blessings came from. And it is a danger and a subtle temptation that confronts all of us at one point or the other, where you get to a place, you look at how well you're doing, how successful you are, how things are working out, and you begin to tell yourself, it is my hard work, it is my strength, my diligence, my wisdom, my vision, my focus, my planning. But the sobering question that we must ask ourselves is, who makes you differ from another? In other words, who gave you the edge in life? Who opened the door for you? Who brought the opportunities your way? Who gave you the strength? Who gave you the ideas? Who made you creative? Your family, your husband, your wife. Who gave her to you? Your children, Who gave them to you? Your job, your money, your beauty, your gifts, your talents, your intelligence. Where did they all come from? For who makes you differ from another? Let me share a few truths with you, and then we close. Number one, and I want you to grasp these truths, and especially in this month where I told you earlier that I really want us to be in a gratitude and thanksgiving mode. I want you to grasp these truths, and I want us to think correctly and to think correctly quickly before we get into any trouble with God. So these are five very short truths I want to share with you in relation to the subject, who makes you differ from another. Truth number one: all achievement is enabled by God, and every lifting has a source. All achievement is enabled by God, and every lifting has a source. All achievement is enabled by God, and every lifting has a source. John chapter 3, verse 27. Meka se Yesu ye, haomi di meka se Yesu ye, se uferia mi di meka se Yesu ye, haomi di meka 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 se Yesu ye, Yesu wa. John 3:27. John's disciples came to him and said, "Are you aware that man who came to you when we were at the Jordan, he started baptizing people, and all men are flocking to him?" And they felt very sad and unhappy about the situation, because this guy came to you, and they were referring to Jesus. And this was the answer and the response that John the Baptist gave them. He said, John answered and said, "A man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven." Never forget this scripture in your life, because there is such an awesome truth in it. A man or a woman can receive nothing. Nothing means what? Nothing. She? Zero. A man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven. So it means that if you have anything worth celebrating, anything worth talking about, anything good, anything great, anything pleasant, let it be known to you that it came from above, that God is the one who enabled it. And every lifting that you can see in your life, that you were here and you've been lifted up to here. Once upon a time you were single, now you are married. You didn't have a child. Now you have a child. You were just a common floor member. You have been made a supervisor. You didn't have a lot of money. Now you have money in your bank account. Let it be known to you that it is God who enabled it, and He is the source of anything worth celebrating in your life. Clap your hands and bless the name of Jesus. And don't let us test God. Because the day He removes His hand, even the strongest person will become very weak instantly. Let's not test Him. And let's move through life with this wisdom, this knowledge and understanding, which is that all achievement is enabled by God, and every lifting has a source. Number two, effort by itself does not create distinction. I'll explain it. Effort by itself does not create distinction. There is always a grace factor. Effort by itself does not create distinction. There is always the grace factor. Effort, making an effort, trying, working hard, learning hard, striving to make it in life, is a good thing. And I encourage all of us to work hard, to put in effort, to strive. If you are in school, work hard with the aim to do very well and end up with great grades. If you are a worker, work very hard and believe God to improve your lot in this life. But the truth is this: effort in itself does not create distinction. Effort is not what makes you differ from another. It's not what makes you distinct from another. Effort alone doesn't do that. Whether you like it or not, there's always a grace factor. You may acknowledge it, you may not acknowledge it, but it is always there. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 11. Ecclesiastes 9, 11. It says, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread, adia, to the wise, nor riches to men of understanding, nor favor to men of skill, but time and chance happen to them all. Now, that statement, time and chance, I want to summarize it with the word providence. All right? Because when you read something like this, you get the impression that if anything works out in your life, it is luck or your luck. That's why people can say of themselves that my head is not good, mitinye. Because like certain things, there's nothing like luck. But there is something called providence, which has to do with God's sovereign care, His guidance, and His governance of His creation. Sometimes you when you look at all the bad things that happen in the world, the impression you get is that God has lost control. He hasn't lost control at all. Everything is working according to plan. You and I don't understand what is happening around us, but God understands it perfectly. Have you watched people playing chess before? And you are wondering what they are doing, because what they are doing doesn't make sense to you. It doesn't make sense because you don't understand what is happening. You don't understand it at all. Or perhaps you see somebody weaving a piece of kente cloth. You see a strand of rope here, a thread here, and then they are doing crow, crow, crowing. I said, what are these guys doing? All you see is a confused maze of thread. But when you give it time, something evolves out of it. And that's when you tell yourself that, this is what the guy was doing. And as he works behind the loom, he knows exactly what he's doing. You don't know it. You can't see it, but to him, it is very clear. But time reveals what he's actually doing. And may I explain to you, ladies and gentlemen, that God knows exactly what he's doing. He knows why he's allowed all sorts of things to happen. And one day we will get to understand it. That's why the songwriter said, we will understand it better by and by. But you see, this scripture is saying something important. He says the race is not to the swift. Now, usually in the normal play of events, those who are fast are the ones who are likely to win the race. Those who are strong are the ones who are likely to win the fight. Those who are wise are the ones who will always have their daily bread. Those who have understanding and are prospering. And then those who are skillful have certain doors of favor opening to them. It is true. But here, this scripture is saying, and the essence of what the scripture is saying, that it is not always the fast who win the race. It is not always the strong who win the battle. It is not always the wise who have enough to eat. It is not always those with understanding who become rich. And it is not always skillful people who are favored. But there is something called providence, which I'll interpret it also in another way and describe it as the grace factor. It's always there. And it is irrespective of whether the person that grace is being extended to acknowledges God or not. It is by his sovereign will that he does what he wants to do. So you can have two people, they study in the same class. You can have two people, they are in the same church. You can have two people praying the same prayers. But one advances faster. Why? Why? My mates that we saw on the road begging, for him to have ended up in Prisek suggests that he was a clever guy. Because not many people get admission to that school. And if I can recall, he wasn't a bad student at all. I have sat with people who were more intelligent than I was, I think. But we've all ended up differently. Who makes one to differ from another? There's always a grace element. Always. Which is why Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:10, he said, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain. Then now he talks about effort. He says, but I labored more abundantly than all the other apostles. Then he quickly adds, yet not I, Jamini, Onyamia, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Summary, anything that you see about me, Paul, about my ministry, about where I am, about the churches I planted, about my missionary journeys, about the miracles, about the power, about the glory, Yes, I put in a lot of effort, but I can't take the credit for it. It's by the grace. Chula, there's a song you sing. Take that microphone. I don't look like what I have been through. Could you tell me what that song says?
Don't look like what I have been through. You turned my pits into a well.
I was in a pit.
So the essence of my praise is centered on your grace.
What's the answer?
What again?
I've been through a lot,
but grace sustained me.
What sustained you?
My test is now a testimony. So the essence of my praise is centered on your grace.
What's the reason? It was you, my lawyer.
It was you, my lawyer in that courtroom.
That means he's the one who saw you through that case.
It was you, my soldier on that battlefield.
That battle that you came out of.
So
he won
the essence of my praise is centered on your grace.
What's the answer?
I don't.
Tell me who has changed my story.
Turn my mourning into dancing. It is you, but just so great. You have changed my story.
And I like this line.
What a cold breaker, you made a way. Turn my mourning into dancing. It is you, but just so great.
To differ from another, or you ever ask yourself that question, if that thought ever crosses your mind, don't say much, just lift up your finger and let this be your answer. The one who has caused us to be who we are and where we are. And then for those of you who think that you have had too many problems in life, I will say to you that you may have had hundreds of problems, but if you sit back, you will discover 1,000 reasons why you ought to be grateful to Him and to thank Him. And next Sunday, I'll finish up with the sermon. But on the 21st and on the 28th, there are special Thanksgiving Sundays. And one of the ways we express our gratitude to God is to bring our song, our worship, and our substance to Him. Don't start any accounting with me. Don't start any calculations. Don't start telling me that I gave 2 weeks ago. I gave during the Thanksgiving service. I gave a fat amount of. Don't start it. Please don't go there. Don't go there with me. Let this sermon and this question continue to ring in your mind as we draw close to the end of the year. And again, if they ask you, who makes thee to differ from another? What should your response be? Every head bowed and every eye closed. This morning, I want to give you an opportunity to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I want to say, Pastor, I've been touched by the Word of God, and I realize that God has been so good to me, but I've not really acknowledged Him in my life in a certain way. Because one of the plainest ways of acknowledging God is to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And I want to pray for you today. Maybe you are watching this live streaming and God has spoken to you and touched you right where you are. I want to say, Pastor, please pray with me. I want to give my heart to Jesus. Wherever you are, can you lift up your right hand and I'm going to pray with you that Jesus will become Lord of your life. That's one of the surest ways of demonstrating your gratitude to Him. God bless you. Now let's pray this prayer together. Say, Dear Lord Jesus, this morning, I am grateful to you that you came to die for me. I recognize that I am a sinner saved by grace. Today, in response to your love, I give you my heart. I give you my life. Please forgive me for all my sins. Please wash me with the blood of Jesus. From today, I will serve you. I will live for you. Thank you, Father, for hearing my prayer. In Jesus' name have I prayed. Amen. Put your hands together for Jesus, my friends.
Thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. We do hope that you were greatly blessed. For further inquiries, please call, WhatsApp, or send an SMS text to +233 243 886 622. God bless you.